Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lav. Apologies for recording this one later than anticipated. You folks, if you were so inclined, can blame the Logan Airport in Boston, which reduced my connection time, that I would not have made an international flight, but I digress. Rex, we are both at the Open Championship. This is not the official Open Championship preview podcast. We will record that live from Royal Troon on Wednesday. Rex, this one, we are looking back at the Genesis Scottish Open, which you covered for Golf Channel and did so quite adeptly. Bob McIntyre, now a two-time winner on the PGA Tour, winning his national open in what I would consider one of the, if not the finish of the year. What were your reflections from Renaissance Club as Bobby Mack lived out a dream?
I think when you looked at the leaderboard going into the final round, Bobby Mack was probably the fourth or fifth name that I would have picked out that, okay, I think he's going to end up winning on Sunday. I think both of us would have gone to Ludvig Åberg simply because of the way he played the first three rounds. He looked like a robot, didn't miss a shot, looked like he was going to run away with this one for his second PGA Tour victory. You had Rory McIlroy kind of making eyes as if, oh, maybe he could do something special over the course of the final round. And then Adam Scott, who has suddenly found something in his swing and in his game, and he loves links golf, so I'm not particularly surprised that he was able to do it there. But when you look at Bobby, you go back to last year, and you could say he lost to Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy beat him, however you want to slice up that one. I mean, I think Robert did what he needed to do to win. Rory just played a little bit better coming down the stretch. But you look at the emotions in that, and I was taken on Saturday night when I spoke with Robert McIntyre, and I did the interview with him, and he kind of talked at length, like he's prone to do, about the idea that, no, I haven't, you know, made a secret. Like, I've been out front with this. This would mean the most to me in golf. This would be the most special victory I could possibly have. But the battle was always going to be, don't make it bigger than it is, because we've seen that time and time again. Certainly, probably what happened to Rory McIlroy at the U.S. Open has a little bit of that to it. And it seemed like, and even on the 10th hole, and Robert told me this on Sunday after he'd won, he felt like he bogeys it. He feels like, no, this isn't my year. I'll have to come back next year and grind away. And then the way things started to fall in place coming down the stretch, certainly we're going to talk about, you know, it was a good break, it was a good lie, however you want to slice it up, for the eagle on 15. And then, of course, the birdie 18. That was the hardest hole on the PGA Tour 2 years ago. So I think it's worth pointing out that was not an easy birdie. He went and won it. And the emotions were cool, and the excitement was cool. And I don't feel very good about most of the interviews I do, if I'm being honest with you, but that one I liked.
This is certainly, Rex, isn't it, a player who's coming into his own now? I mean, he's 27 years old. I think we'd always kind of discounted him as sort of this happy-go-lucky Scotsman who didn't particularly care how high that he flew in the world of golf, and yet here he is now crashing the top 20 in the world. He played on a Ryder Cup last year after getting in the final qualifying spot. He won Canada in impressive fashion. Now he wins his national open. He's contended in major championships. This is certainly a player who's coming into his own, and it's a lot of fun to see. You mentioned, Rex, the good break on 16, the 70th hole of the tournament. It looked like that was going to be a pitch out at most. That would be a 100-yard shot that he could probably advance on the fairway on what is the easiest hole coming home, the 16, the par 5 at Renaissance Club. Instead, if you guys are watching telecast, takes a couple hacking practice swings, discovers a sprinkler head in the rough. A sprinkler head in the rough, Rex. First of all, why? Second of all, why was he violently thrashing right next to his ball like that? And third, can you ever recall, or at least recall this year, a better break that more significantly swung a tournament in a player's favor like we saw this one?
No, absolutely not. I don't think I can remember a break, not situationally in the moment like that. And it was funny. And again, I encourage everyone to go check out the interview on Sunday night, because he sort of walks me through it really well, explaining that when he stepped up to the ball, he had his heel on the sprinkler head. And if you look, the rough was so thick, he couldn't even see it. And he didn't even feel it. It wasn't until he took a bit of a step back, and he only has steel spikes in like the toe of his golf shoe, and he heard something clicking against something in the ground. He had his caddy look down, and they discovered what it was. And he was very leery at first because he realized what a good break this was going to end up being, that it was going to give him an opportunity that he would have never had. And so he was a little worried about calling in a rules official, and it was 100% the right ruling. He should have gotten relief from that. You're right. I'm not quite sure why there's even a sprinkler head over there. I'd be curious if it's even active, but I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say he took advantage of it. It was a really good break. It happens sometimes in golf. It happens sometimes at very important moments. This was a really important moment, and he made the most of it, making eagle, because you could hear that all over the golf course. Adam Scott knew exactly what had happened.
Eagle, par, birdie to win the golf tournament, nips Adam Scott by a single shot, gets redemption after last year's Roy McIlroy finished birdie, birdie, and what were hellacious final round conditions. Could not have been more different. You mentioned the 54-hole leader, Ludvig Åberg, a missed opportunity to add his second career title on the PG Tour. And Rex, there's no other way to put it. This was an absolute Sunday clunker from Luda. He lost 4.5 shots to the field, strokes gained, the second worst statistical performance of his entire career. One birdie 73 in the final round. It was basically a non-factor over the last couple holes. Were you surprised the fact that Åberg could not get it done? And do you sense any pattern that has developed since his star turn at the Masters this year when he finished second?
Yeah, man. I mean, you got to be surprised. Like I said, he looked like a machine for the first three rounds. This was the guy who went on the PGA Tour, essentially having never played the PGA Tour before, like pretty much straight out of the gates. This is a guy that made it to the Ryder Cup straight out of the gates. He's had a year full of firsts, playing his first major, playing his first year on the PGA Tour, all of these things, and he's made it look exceedingly easy until he didn't, and that was on Sunday. And it is a little surprising, and I will give our colleague Aaron O credit on live from, and he talked about it today during the show, that if you look at his final round scoring average really since Augusta, and it's a bit of a small sample size, but the idea being is that he isn't nearly as sharp. I think he, according to him, according to AO, it was a 3.5 stroke difference if you sort of break it down during that time frame, and that didn't even count what happened on Sunday at the Scottish Open. So there's clearly something going on, and he was asked about it today during his press conference, and he referenced kind of a swing issue that has going on specifically with his driver, where he kind of gets behind it a little bit, gets a little flippy. I think you're familiar with that move, and he ended up with a two-way miss coming down the stretch, and you saw it, man. He was all over the lot. He actually got lucky with some bounces in the rough that probably kept him in the game a little bit later than he should have been. I do think, and he did not own to this, and I wouldn't expect someone of his age to do it, even though I find him to be very thoughtful, the nerves got to him. I mean, I don't think there's any way to slice it. Yes, maybe the body wasn't working right. Maybe the swing got out of sync on Sunday. That's the why. The what is because I was trying to win for the second time on the PGA Tour against a world-class field on a national championship. All of these things add up. And I think the difference now, maybe versus last fall when he won at the RSM Classic, is I think in his mind, he has started to understand how big of a moment this is. And maybe it's creeping in a little bit. That being said, I don't expect this to become the norm for Ludvig, because I still find him to be a phenomenal player. I mean, just a generational, seminal player when he is in full flight. We saw it for three rounds last week. But I think what we saw on Sunday is the natural human reaction to, oh, this game's really hard when there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it is interesting to see the transformation, because you think about last summer. He didn't just win the RSM Classic. I believe he shot, 61 in the final round to win at Sea Island. But to win for the first time as a pro was at the European Masters on the DP World Tour. Shot 64 there, closed with a barrage of birdies. That was the tournament that basically caught Luke Donald's attention and got him on that European Ryder Cup team. It almost seemed like he was just sort of coasting through that. He didn't know what he didn't know. And this year, I think it learned some very important lessons about what it takes to close out golf tournaments against elite competition. That's nothing to take away from the players who are playing the European Masters or the RSM Classic. But we're talking signature events on the PGA Tour. We're talking about major championships on the PGA Tour. And I think you've seen that, Rex, since Augusta this year. Look at Ludvig's final rounds, 72, 74, 73, 71, 73. None of those were breaking par in the final round. That's when the pressure is at its most intense. That is when the conditions are the most difficult. That is when the primetime players have stepped up. I'm not saying that there's any sort of softness to Ludvig, but I do think that these last couple months have exposed what I think is the one weakness of his game, and that's around the greens. We saw that pop up at Pinehurst when he was in contention at the U.S. Open, made that triple on 13 at an untimely time. We saw it on Sunday when he did not strike the ball his best, but he was unable to really scramble his way to pars with just 3 or 7 scrambling in that final round. That's the one thing to me that seems to pop up again and again when it comes to Ludwig, and I think points to his inability. He can get that sharpened over time. He's not a fully formed professional golfer, but I think it speaks to just how highly we all think of him, that people are like, why aren't you winning more? And he's yet, what, 54 weeks into his pro career at this point?
For those of you on the audio audience, not the visual, I just had to hit the mute button because I had a huge sneeze. I am struggling today, man. During our hit, during live from, and this is pulling back the curtain a little bit, towards the end, if anyone was watching and happened to notice, I had to cough very, very badly and didn't have a lot to say after Ryan had got done talking. So I literally threw it back to Damon as fast as I possibly could. There was no fun in games. I am 100%. Struggling today. No, I think that's entirely fair when it comes to Ludwig. And I think you're right when it looks at the little bit of weakness that you can see in his game. That's area. I mean, we saw Victor Hovland do it, where he found that the one weakness in his game, he turned into a strength. I would expect Oberg to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's not Victor Hovland bad. We're talking he's a player who's an average scrambler, but it's he's at the point now where he's unable to bail him out when he does have the rare off ball striking day.
Well, and I talked with his swing coach, whatever you want to call Peter Hansen, on Sunday at the Scottish Open. And they were talking about what they've been working on essentially the last 2 weeks building up to this week. So he was in Sweden the week before the Scottish Open. And he immediately went back to the idea of Ludwig's struggle last year at the Open Championship. He missed the cut, and it was all about he didn't have a really good feel for the green speeds. They're a little bit slower over here. We're going to talk about it over the next couple of days. You'll hear a lot about it. But it is an adjustment that these players, especially players who play almost predominantly on the PGA Tour, have to make. And so that has been his focus. And I can see him going into that final round with this sort of in the back of his mind. So it's not a huge surprise to me that maybe he was a little bit distracted. It was a surprise, though, for him to finish like that. It's one thing not to get it done. It's a whole nother thing to essentially implode.
Rex, how about the other headliner of the week? That was Rory McIlroy, tied for fourth. It will look good on Wikipedia, but those who watch the golf tournament know that he did not significantly factor in the proceedings. And yet, it was still another high finish, still finished a couple of shots shy of Robert McIntyre. This was the first time we'd seen Rory since the U.S. Open collapse. We talked about his pre-tournament press conference in the Wednesday podcast. But what did you make of what you saw, and perhaps even more importantly, what you heard from Rory last week as we now spin it ahead to the Open Championship?
I think we call those box score top tens, right? When you can look back, we'll look back from that in 5 years from now and be like, well, he finished well at the Scottish Open the week before he won the Open Championship. So, of course, he was informed. There is something to that based just on what he was doing tee to green, because I think he was second off the tee strokes gain. I think he was third strokes gain tee to green. It was Rory when he's at his best. It's what we've come to expect from him. He did not have the touch and the feel on the greens. I think Friday's probably the round that got to him, because he had a ton of opportunities and wasn't able to convert any of them. I will say that having that time off after the U.S. Open, I think you and I talked about it, the preview podcast last Wednesday for the Scottish Open, to sort of compartmentalize and process what happened during those last couple of holes at Pinehurst, has put him in a better spot mentally. Because I can tell you, even after rounds that I thought he was going to be aggravated, even after play that I thought was going to send him a little bit over the edge based on how well he hit the ball and what he got out of his round, he was okay with it. And I think the idea is, I think every player last week, every player that's in the Open Championship has an eye towards Royal Troon. That's sort of the nature of that event. None more so than Rory. And again, this is the last major until we get to Augusta. So this is the last time he's going to have a chance to really think about, am I going to win that major? Am I going to end that decade-long drought? I still like the way I looked at the odds just the other day, just out of curiosity. They have Scottie Scheffler 1, which I think is about right, and then Rory 2. And I like that lineup. We haven't even talked about Scotty. He didn't play last week. I still think he should be the favorite coming into this week. But I think Rory's doing everything you expect him to do when he shows up at a major championship and play well.
Last I saw, Scotty was like 5-1, Rory 8-1. I actually think Ludwig Oberg was third at 12-1, with Xander Schauffele coming in at 14-1. All that makes a lot of sense to me. I think this was the ideal tune-up if you're Rory McIlroy. It reminded me a lot of how he played at the RBC Canadian Open as well, where, yes, it looks good after the fact. He had a top five finish in Canada as well, and then parlayed that into what he did at the U.S. Open. But this was another week in which he led the field in strokes gained tee to green. And if you look at his putting, it wasn't anything that was necessarily mechanical. It wasn't like that yippy stroke that we saw on the 70th hole at Pinehurst that cost him the U.S. Open. This was predominantly because of speed and potentially some misreads because he had misjudged the speed as well. That is something that could be cleaned up much easier than sort of fine-tuning a stroke under pressure. And so I think that's going to be a major point of emphasis for Rory over his first three practice days at Royal Troon, spending more time on and around the greens to make sure that part of his game, because it's very clear, Rex, from a driving perspective, from an iron play perspective. I mean, he has his golf swing exactly where he wants it. I think he'll be very dangerous as he's set to meet with the media as well on Tuesday morning.
And I think there's something to be said for, and we'll talk about it in the preview podcast about the conditions here, but I mean, we're expecting, it's already green and lush. It's much more green and lush than I think we've come to expect from an Open. So it'll be a green Open championship that you watch back home in the United States on TV, but that's going to lend itself to a little bit more of Rory's game. Whereas you put him in a situation where Hoylake a few years ago, where it was kind of brown and bouncy, that puts an element of luck into it, where he can't hit a good drive that ends up in that bad place. This is going to be more reminiscent of what we see on the PGA Tour, where you will have some run out more so than what you expect week in and week out, but it won't be those hard, fast conditions.
Very interesting too, isn't it? These last couple of weeks, you were there at the Renaissance Club. The wind did not blow particularly hard. We saw scores that we thought were going to get out of control. Pretty benign as well here on Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday is not supposed to be particularly blustery as well. I do think we're supposed to get some weather coming in Thursday, Friday. I mean, this is the Open Championship, Rex. We want wet. We want windy. I think players would much prefer wet.
You want chaos is what you want. Yes. You want chaos.
We don't want chaos to the point that you get a fluky winner. That is not what we want. We just want them to be tested in a way that they don't typically see on the PGA Tour. I think that's what I'm hoping for this week. What have been, as we look ahead to our Wednesday preview podcast, Rex, what have been your initial impressions of the golf course so far? What are players telling you? I got in about midday today and walked a couple holes as well. You've been here for a couple hours longer. What are your early impressions?
How are you? I meant to ask you. You're fresh off an overnight flight from the United States. You have the tie on, you have the suit on. You look good. I thought you did a good job in our live from hit. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling delirious. I've been seeing triple out on the golf course. It was warm earlier. That I'm dehydrated. I'm hungry. The Scottish food strike is upon us here. I'm boycotting. The media center once again at the Open Championship. No, I'm not doing well. I'm not doing well, to be honest with you, at all. I'm looking forward to 8 o'clock when my head hits the pillow, and hopefully you and bunkmate in the neighboring room can keep it down as I try and get a good night's rest.
I think we're not going to dinner until 8 o'clock, so you'll have to make a bedtime for later. The golf course is going to play similar to what we've seen in the past. And this was one of the questions that we did on live from today, because we were talking with Pete Cowan, who was Henrik Stenson's swing coach. And we went back to when Henrik Stenson set the Open record, shot the 63 in the final round to beat Phil Mickelson. And we asked him specifically, is it going to be another low scoring week? And he completely dismissed the idea based on, I think, what you said on live from that those two players that particular week were having an out of body experience. And I'm not saying that there's not players in this field who aren't capable of that. I mean, someone named Richard Mansell shot a 61 yesterday at the Scottish Open. So you can get on a roll. And if we don't get those conditions that you just talked about on Thursday and Friday, they will be able to take advantage of it. But I just think this particular golf course, with the conditions that are forecast, I don't see the low scoring either, but it will be interesting. And they talked about this today on live from, there is such a difference between it's an out and back routing, like most true links courses are. But I think we had our colleague Doug Ferguson coined the phrase, it's short out and long back, which means the front nine is about 300 yards shorter than the back nine. And the prevailing wind is your downwind on the front and into the wind coming home. So you will probably end up seeing something in the low 30s, 31, 30, maybe 32 going out. Coming in, guys will have a hard time holding on to that score.
As someone who shot 37, 47, the one time I played this golf course, I do feel that split quite intimately. Rex, that's going to do it for this edition of Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Lab. Of course, we'll be back on Wednesday for a full preview podcast talking all of the players, all of the storylines, the golf course, as well as we look forward to the opening round of the Open Championship. And do not forget, of course, we'll be doing mini pods after each and every tournament round here at Royal Troon. Always look forward to that. Love bringing that to you guys. In the meantime, mbcsports.com/golf for our latest news, notes, and updates. Be back in a couple days. Enjoy your start to Open Championship.
Quick hook.